Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
We are a couple of credentialed media guys and best friends.
Yes.
We bring you the Clippers 5 days a week.
And there was a whole, 5 days worth of trade insanity this just today on Twitter.
Absolutely. We're going to be kicking things off talking about said trade insanity. There's Westbrook stuff flying around, which we did touch on yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Please check out yesterday's episode of Locked On Clippers if you haven't yet. But yeah, there's a lot of scuttlebutt going down. So we're going to talk about all of that. And then it's Thirsty Thursday. We do it every single Thursday.
Yep.
We're talking basically about what we want some more of, what we need, what we're thirsting for.
Yeah.
For this Clipper squad. And then in shavings, which is where we just kind of open up the kitchen drawer of the NBA and see what's cooking around. There's some new sort of COVID protocols coming out, as reported by Shams.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul George got a great gift, so lucky for you, buddy. Way to go. All that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yeah, so welcome to kind of trade insanity. We discussed the Westbrook trade on yesterday's episode, but now it's confirmed that he wants out of Houston.
Yes.
With some,
if you didn't know anything about the situation and you were driving in your car, I'd hear what you just said and be like, confirmed, and immediately pull over.
Yeah. It's just stay away from the Clips.
Yeah. Look, there's just no mathematical way to make it happen. So I can't truly even begin to start worrying about it.
Yeah. To keep a team in contention with what we would owe Westbrook is very difficult. There was a trade posted by Bleacher Report that was Bev, Lou, Zoo, Fee, and I think a pick, maybe another player, that would have left us, if we did this trade today, with 6 rostered players on the team. Because we still have unrestricted free agents. We still have guys who might have player options.
Yeah, and you still got to be assuming a sign and trade or something in that, because Bev, Lou, and Zoo doesn't get it done.
Yeah, I don't get how that works.
I still think you're short there.
You probably are, because it's $40 million. But no, there's a lot going on. Also, I mean, this is the biggest one, I guess. Ryan Russillo, per LA Clippers Film, shout out LA Clippers Film, follow that account, please. Apparently, Kawhi reached out to Chris Paul and immediately said, hey, you should come here via text. He went on to say the interest from both sides is real, but the math isn't realistic. And he added that Phoenix is the favorite right now to land CP3. So,
yes.
I mean, did Kawhi reach out to CP3? Probably. I don't know. Maybe.
I mean, I got to be honest. I don't see why not.
Like, yeah.
This seems like a pretty normal interaction
between two players. Yeah, that's a good call.
Between two players, like, hey, man, should come here. That'd be sick.
Wouldn't it be fun if we played basketball together?
And I'm not intimate in this situation, so I can't speak to the seriousness of it. But yeah, like once again, this is the same thing as the Westbrook thing where the math is so complicated to work out. I can't really even begin to get over that hurdle before I can start to put together any sort of realistic trade package or start to begin to wrap my head around the possibility of Chris Paul just coming back.
Yeah, I saw on Reddit people like, oh, what if he got bought out? I'm like, no one's buying out Chris Paul.
Not a chance, man.
Not going to happen.
You're talking about over $100 million left on that thing, aren't you? Aren't there 2 years left?
I think there might, maybe two, yeah. But, you know, Ryan Russillo, maybe not the most adept at scoops, but he is around NBA people. He talks to NBA people. But as we mentioned, OKC and Phoenix are in talks about a potential CP3 trade. But there's another thing reported by Jonathan Macri that the OKC Phoenix talks might turn into a 4-team trade, including the Mavs and Clippers.
Yeah, so I was looking at this one, and this one also seems a little bit too wacky to me. I don't really know why the Mavs get involved.
I think there's a sign-and-trade probably with Trez. The hottest thing is everyone in the world thinking that another team's going to agree to pay Trez money that we wouldn't pay him.
Yeah.
Seems like a pretty big deal. 4-team trade is hard to wrap my head around. But per John Gambardoro, he tweeted, little monkey wrench here with this OKC Phoenix deal. OKC does not want any multi-year contracts back, which, if true, would make this trade difficult because they have no real interest in either Rubio or Kelly Oubre.
Fair enough.
Which, I mean, Kelly Oubre's good. Rubio, also pretty good. So I think it's kind of interesting. But Lucas Hahn had a great idea that if the Suns go for CP3, the Clippers could swap, you know, Williams and Magruder, something, in exchange for Rubio. And I think that makes a ton of sense. Rubio on this Clippers team, if we were also somehow to keep Pat Bev, would be, I think that unlocks a kind of a Clippers offense that we wouldn't even been able to see last year.
I think like something like this, like getting Rubio, I kind of think that that's what we're looking at as like the absolute ceiling if we were to get a point guard.
And I'm fine with it because Rubio's a great guard.
I mean, he's great. He's an actual starting point guard, which I already think is a stretch for us to be able to get. But yeah, this would be great. I think you can get the deal done with just the Suns, OKC, and the Clippers, obviously.
Yeah.
Without having to involve the Mavs, because that trade...
But the Mavs kind of want Trez. Like, there has been rumors that the Mavs maybe want Trez, so that's where the sign-in trade comes into play.
Yeah, but I think you can get this done without a sign-in trade, especially if OKC doesn't want to take on long-term money.
Keeping Bev and adding Rubio, if the Clippers were able to keep Marcus Morris, maybe Jermichael Green opts in, just because of uncertainty, whatever, whatever. We keep Bev and we somehow get Ricky Rubio. That is as good as the offseason could have gone for the Clippers, I think.
I mean, like, look, dude,
There's no holes. Like, I know we said all this last year, but like that's a nice.
I totally agree with you, but
good
I
for
just,
Sham too.
I just don't see the incentive for OKC, to be honest with you.
That's the best deal in the world for the Clippers.
Yeah.
I don't know why the Suns necessarily maybe do it. I mean, they have CP3, so they got to get rid of some money.
Yeah.
You would assume. Would you give up Bev to get Rubio?
Oh, man, that's really hard.
That's a tough call.
Yes.
Wow. Interesting. I mean, he's a true point.
I just feel like he's a little bit maybe more what we need.
He facilitates better. Offense, I mean, obviously you're taking a step back on defense, but not as big of a step back as I think people think.
Yeah.
Not
he's
saying
also, he's also like, he's big. He's a big dude, plays with physicality.
Yeah. And I'm not saying Bev's like a bad defender at all by any means, but I think people kind of underrate Rubio's defense a little bit.
Yes.
Maybe mostly because when he was early in the league, it wasn't really there at all.
Yeah. No, that's totally fair.
But, you know, and again, like, this note's in the second segment, but I feel like we can talk about it now. You put it in. We need a set roster.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be good. We'll be talking about that more on Thirsty Thursday. But
oh yeah,
I you know, if there was a possibility of this happening, you know, like I said, I think that that is the best tier of point guard that we can sort of realistically get.
Yeah, Dragic, I don't think we can get.
I just don't see.
I also put them in similar tiers.
I would put Dragic below, but...
Ooh, interesting.
But not like far below, just yeah. Like a maybe a hair.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, like Dragic, I don't know who else. So my thing that I get frustrated with is people like, oh, we just sign and trade Trez for a point guard.
Yes.
What team is going to pay Trez $12 to $15 million?
That's already paying that for a point guard that's ready to
That's probably
that
good.
That's, yeah, like trying to let that point guard go, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no like real names coming to mind.
I don't see it happening. And you know what? If you guys have trade machine ideas, send them to us.
Definitely. Yeah.
More than three teams. I'm going to be honest. I get a little cross-eyed looking at that.
We just tried to do three and I got lost. So I'm an idiot.
Yeah. We're going
to keep it to two teams. If you send it to
please,
me,
please, maybe just one, maybe it's just like we're signing somebody. But we're going to have news for you guys. Whenever something breaks, part of me did have a bit of a panicky feeling. And I was like, oh, it's just inevitable the Clippers get Westbrook, and I'm going to freak out. So hopefully that doesn't happen. But coming up, we're going to be talking Thirsty Thursday, Zubats, plus just the whole roster edition. But first, the Locked On NBA, just whole network, the NBA draft.
What are you doing?
Doing a mock draft.
Wow.
We didn't get to take part in it because the Clippers don't have any first-round picks. But it was very fun seeing the email notifications go off. Listen to the Locked On NBA podcast every day leading up to the draft to hear projections of each pick and expert analysis from Chad Ford, The Athletic's John Hollinger, and Sports Illustrated's Jeremy Wu. Check the feed to catch up on past shows and don't miss a pick. Subscribe to Locked On NBA Today, wherever you get podcasts, and maybe Locked On Clippers too.
Little bummed that they didn't want a mock draft all the way to 60.
Oh, I had Jan Madar in all cap letters typed up, ready to send. I had that scheduled.
You could have gone for 30 off top about Jan Madar.
I almost just wanted to do like, oh, last pick, and just put it in here.
So, like we said, we're going to get into our Thirsty Thursday, but before that, we got to talk about Built Go. The thing about Built Go is it makes you the best you at whatever you do.
Oh, yeah.
You can break through that wall, whether it's mental or physical. It comes in easy-to-take packages, 1.5 ounces, slightly larger than a shot. Much healthier for you, though. Built Bar Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's 5-hour energy without the same crash. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for the body.
Mm.
It's kind of like drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and better results.
Nice.
It currently comes in 3 delicious flavors, including peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint.
Delicious.
So you're probably asking, how does Built Go work so well? Well, it combines energy gel with collagen protein, which is a fast-absorbing protein, so it gets into your system fast, and it's easy on the stomach.
Mm.
It's loaded with good stuff to ignite your work. You know, it's got B3, honey, little kick of caffeine, and it just kicks in to keep you going strong. And right now, if you want to check out Built Go to make you the best you at whatever you do, visit builtgo.com and use code LOCKED, and you'll get 30% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 30% off at builtgo.com. Let's go.
All right. Now that we're going off of Built Go, talking Thirsty Thursday, Zubats, and just the whole team edition. Let's do Zubats first. His role is the most up in the air of any Clipper, it feels like.
Oh, agreed.
The person who took a bunch, who played 28 minutes a game, might not be on the team next year.
Yes.
A minor, you know, adjustment, as some people would call it.
Which we'll talk about later as well.
He had 18 minutes per game last season. He averaged 5.3 field goal attempts, 2 offensive boards a game, almost 3, which is great. His first year of VORP over 0.4.
I mean, that
Which
makes
is
sense.
Pretty crazy, yeah.
It makes sense, just given his what his usage was like on the Lakers as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, even at times with the Clippers.
With the Clippers, for sure. What do we see from him in Lou's offense? Do we think he's... Is it kind of just more of the same? Is Zubats going to be that player who is a Clippers fan favorite, who is kind of maybe not hated on because he doesn't have a big enough role, but if he's not on your team, you don't understand how much of an impact he might have?
Well, I mean, it's interesting. It's an interesting addition to a Ty Lue sort of offense. I mean, like, I think that Zoo's defense is more or less what it is in a good way.
One of the best rim protectors.
I think like where it can grow is probably a little bit on the other end of the floor. And I'm curious to see what that means from Ty Lue. Like, does that mean maybe a little bit more passing Zoo?
Ooh, which we've heard about.
Do we see that opened up a little bit? Does it look like more finishing Zoo?
Because
I'm also fine with that. I mean, if you listen to the show, you know, really my biggest criticism of Zoo is he just can be a little hard-handed at times.
Yes.
And the touch has gotten better. He has gotten, you know, like he is a much better finisher than he was last season. So I guess it just depends on what kind of role you're going to choose to use him in on the offensive side of the floor.
Yeah.
What about you? Like, I don't really see him. He can't really take that big of a leap defensively, can he? I mean, like, what else is there to go?
Yeah, consistency, I think, is just the key.
Yeah.
On the defensive end, which he worked at so hard in the last offseason, and it paid off. He got playoff minutes this year. He was clamored for to play more than Trez to the detriment of the team.
And he's up there in like the high percentiles of at the rim defense.
Yeah.
Solid rebounder. You know, like when I say that, I mean to say that Zoo has like a pretty well developed defensive game.
Yeah.
You know,
still room to grow, obviously.
Room to grow, but the biggest thing is like trying to cover, you know, guys who are a threat shooting and still
you're
fast
Anthony Davis's, you're Jokic's.
Right? Like, it's like, yeah, okay, yeah. So if that's the step to make, like, hey, be able to guard the guard best centers in the league, yeah. I would say that you're already pretty well developed if that's the next step.
That's a very good call. Yeah, he's pretty damn close to that. You know, he's so big and, like, slow that he's not going to be guarding fours.
Nor should he.
Nor should he.
That's not his role. That's not what he's for.
But I think maybe... I think there's a possibility to unlock some more shooting from Zoo. And when I say shooting, I don't mean threes. However, that would be a pretty good time.
I don't want Zoo shooting threes. I don't want him to become Kevin Love. That doesn't make sense. Like, Kevin Love on the Cavs. Like, that doesn't make sense for Zoo.
So, his stats on mid-range shots... he was 20 of 41 on shots from 5 to 9 feet away from the basket, 49%. Not mad at that. 6 of 12 on shots 10 of 14 feet from the basket. Okay, 50%. 7 of 13 on shots 15 to 19 feet from the basket. And then, shockingly, 4 of 4 on shots 20 to 24 feet from the basket. These numbers indicate that the form is there. He can absolutely hit down these mid... you know, hit these mid-range shots, but I almost prefer that maybe one of these mid-range shots is a substitute for a contested dunk. It's not adding it to his numbers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just distributing where he shoots from a little differently.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the 100% of shots on 20-20.
No, that's you can throw that one out. Like, that's crazy. But the other ones are encouraging, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty, like, it's encouraging, and I think... yeah, I mean, if he opens things up maybe to that 10 to 14 range.
That's exactly what I was just looking at.
Like, I think that that's pretty solid. Just with the personnel we have, I don't really get why we need to range him out much more than that. I just don't, like, there's just better shooters. I would rather him pass at that point.
I think this also, a lot of these next year would come, Kawhi's not on the floor, like, who operates within the mid-range. You know what I mean? Like, these are very... these would have to be called plays, I think. Like, you get a little bank shot or something like that. It'd be fun.
My question is just, is it worth it? With the shooting, like, with the shooting, I know, that's already probably on not. The Clippers.
It's probably not worth it. It'll be interesting to see, too, what Ty Lue can do with him. He had, you know, he had kind of a younger Tristan Thompson on the team.
Definitely, who's, like, smaller. Like, I mean,
yeah,
you know, similar... they were used in sort of similar ways as, like, a more kind of prototypical center. But, you know, Zoo's a different animal.
He's good, man. He's good.
Tristan Thompson. So, I am curious to see what that's going to look like.
And do we think that the Clippers are committed, or do we think that Zoo maybe gets thrown into a trade?
Man.
Given the recent news.
Just looking at it from a money perspective, like, you're not getting an equal player in return.
The value for Zoo's contract is crazy.
Like, as you're sending out. Not that I can currently see on the market. I mean, like, unless you're doing, I don't know, Christian Wood for Zoo and somebody else. Like, I don't, I like, truly,
hey,
he's young. He's under contract for a bunch more years. One of the cheaper guys.
Him and Sham are probably the most valuable small contracts we have.
Yeah.
Other than when we signed Yam. Okay, thirsty thing we talked about in the segment before. I just want a roster. I want a solidified roster.
Man, this is the thing. This is the thing that I'm the most thirsty for. It hasn't even started. I'm done with free agency. I don't want to think about it anymore. I don't want to talk about it anymore. No.
Technically hasn't started yet, sir. It starts on the 20th.
I said that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My bad. Started.
No, we're just playing. We're still going to continue to talk about it every day. But I'm done being nervous with it.
I've already seen enough Westbrook trades.
Yeah.
And all this stuff.
Today was a freaky day for for folks who follow the Clippers. So, I want to know what we're working with.
Yeah, exactly. And I want Ty Lue to know.
Yeah.
And our bevy of assistant coaches.
You want to see it.
I want to see it. And then you have an interesting one in here, too, that we'll close this segment out with.
Man, I'm thirsty for Paul George to have a better shoe. The PG4 is trash. Trash.
It is, you know, people know me as Positive Chuck on this podcast. It is not one of the better looking Paul George shoes to have come out.
It is the worst looking Paul George shoe and one of the worst looking basketball shoes that comes to my immediate memory.
It's got a zipper.
It's terrible.
Last player who could pull off a zipper on a shoe, Allen Iverson.
Yeah.
And he did it.
And you know what? He did it.
But remains to be seen if Paul George is on Allen Iverson's level with shoes. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where that goes. Also, Paul George might need a new logo because he has chains that have the logo, and everyone says they look like bow ties.
I love the logo. I think he should keep the logo the same. I think if it looks like a bow tie, even classier.
Maybe make a bow tie company.
Just get a new shoe. All the colorways are terrible. The zipper is not great. I don't understand.
Hey, man, real hoopers know, bro.
And a lot of times it's he plays with it fully unzipped on the court, which seems,
makes me nervous.
It makes me very nervous.
Oh, man. Coming up in Shavings, we're talking COVID protocols. There's not going to be Clippers fans, at least for a part of it. And Paul George fun gift.
Okay, so we're back with Shavings. There's been some more releases about what the COVID protocols will be.
Oh,
so
my God.
Per Shams. Of the Athletic, right?
Yes.
The NBA has sent its 30 teams a memo with protocols for eligible markets to host fans. So currently not California, but it will require people within 30 feet of the court to register negative coronavirus tests for 2 days prior to game or a rapid test on day of game. And I'm guessing, like, just off the bat, it's going to end up being mostly the latter of rapid tests on the day of the game.
Yeah. People got stuff they're trying to do. People are trying to work. Like,
and I don't know what this does.
It's hard to fit in that COVID test.
So does this, like, it's a little unclear whether this 30 feet within the court, is that going to extend to the support staff and like security and all the employees as well? I mean, you would.
Very good question.
You would think you would have to, but I don't know where those tests are coming from. I don't fully understand the logistics of that.
Yes. There's a lot of stuff figured out. And then for arena suites at 25% capacity or less, testing would not be required for fans, which makes sense. Teams would be permitted for 50% if all fans were tested. Not going to happen. Or if local county's positivity rate is 3% or below the 7-day average. Oh, sorry. And 7-day average of new cases per 100K residents is 10 or fewer.
Wow.
I don't know, man. This is, and like, I'm a proponent of maybe not have fans because this COVID is still kind of doing its thing pretty hard.
Yeah.
I'm never going to disrespect COVID out loud because that's a disease that as soon as you disrespect it, it's coming for you.
Also, I mean, like, I do like the stringency, I guess, of 10 or fewer cases per 100K residents. But once again, once you get to 50% capacity, at that point, it really only takes one.
Yeah, it is interesting, and it's already having an impact on LA teams, California teams as a whole. The Clippers sent an email to season ticket holders announcing they won't have fans for games 1 through 9. And then they will evaluate for games 10 through 18 per these restrictions and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Seems good.
Yeah. I mean,
I feel bad for season ticket reps.
How deep is that evaluation going? Is it basically just...
I think it's asking Governor Newsom.
I was going to say, are we allowed to do this
Steve
yet?
Ballmer is in a group text. All the owners in Los Angeles sports who will be playing are in a group text with Newsom.
Yes.
And it's probably, he just texts you yes or no after every game. That's just the one text. You can't reply.
Can we have fans?
Can we have fans? He's like, no.
So are they selling these tickets right now?
Not for games 1 through 9.
All right.
I don't know. We don't even know what's going to happen with media. Definitely probably no locker room access.
I like that you say definitely probably. Definitely no locker room access.
No, it's a whole new, you know, it's kind of like there's an old saying that I think only one person has ever said that it kind of pertains to this, where musicians get their whole career to make their first album and then 1 year to make their second album. The NBA had not very much time to play in the bubble, which was executed pretty flawlessly for all intents and purposes, right? Like,
it went as well as it possibly could have gone.
And then they had, because of their own scheduling, even less time to figure out 72 games spread out in every single NBA city.
Yeah.
Like, this is a...
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Like, the refractory time was not very long.
It was not a lot. And that, like, and it's way... This is so much more serious than the bubble. COVID's not gotten better.
No.
If anything, it's maybe the opposite.
No, I mean, like, the only thing that it like is nice, I suppose, in their favor is like, teams travel privately, so you do have control you have regulation at least a little bit over that.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of owners were probably predicting.
Well, when you talk about no travel, games
at, to a certain degree,
what's difficult with travel too is say you go from LA to another city.
Yeah.
That city as a whole, not just a sports team, has different lockdown measures or whatever we're calling it.
Definitely.
And you can go out and do more stuff.
Yeah.
Then it's just like, oof, whole can of worms.
It is a whole can of worms.
But you got to open it.
Baseball got through theirs.
Kind of. Like Justin Turner had COVID in the last game of the World Series.
And then I mean,
coughed on everyone's significant other.
Seems like he came out better the other side.
I mean, he did get the chip. No, but you know, it's going to be interesting. If you're listening and you have any, you know, funny claims from a Clippers season ticket app holder, get at us with it.
If Paul George had COVID and coughed on you, but the Clippers won a championship, worth it?
Am I definitely getting COVID?
Yes.
Man, I don't know. Probably not worth it. We don't know. I was wild sick in August with not COVID, and that was horrible. So
that's true. You are a little sickly.
You know, that's how I do. It's, you know, new year, new Chuck. And then closing this out, we're talking Paul George again, but this time in a nice way. Got a custom PS5. Had some weird inspirational stuff etched on it from Sony, which is cool.
Do better, buddy.
Yeah, it said, like, we're with you every step of the way or something like that. You know that NBA 2K96 tour is in full effect now.
So ridiculous.
We're here, man.
So ridiculous. Does he have a Twitch or?
He does have a Twitch. He streams. He's very good at video games.
It makes sense.
Every professional athlete seems very good at video games.
It seems like you have a decent amount of time to invest in it.
Yeah, you have timing. You can see things a little better. Like, yeah, they're probably pretty good. Do you want the NBA 2K, the player tournament, to come back? I kind of want that to come back.
Sure.
It was a fun time.
Yeah, you know what? It was a good time. I don't know if it needs to be televised on ESPN. I don't know if I'm that desperate for sports, but I definitely watch some highlights on YouTube.
It's better than watching those dorks in the 2K league play each other.
Yes, fair.
The regular people.
The trash talking is so much better.
Oh, yeah. Like the regular people who are like, let's go. And it's like, dude, you dunked in a video game. It's fine. That all wraps it up, right?
Yeah, I think that'll do her.
Going to have a couple more hot toddies and look at some more Russell Westbrook trade ideas. But on Friday's episode, we're doing a Love, Mary quarantine. No doubt there will be more trade rumors that happen. And also, we know we say we come at you 5 days a week. If something happens on the weekends, there's going to be an emergency episode. Don't worry about that at all. And then, of course, we'll report on whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. Where can these people rate and review us?
Well, you can rate and review us on iTunes. I don't know how to rate and review podcasts on other apps, so hit me up if you know about that. But you can also listen to us on other things. You can listen to us on iTunes or the podcast app, obviously. You can also check us out on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. You can tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. He'll do it.
Begrudgingly.
And
it'll go, are you sure?
Are you sure? But yeah, keep rocking with us. We're still coming at you 5 days a week. Hopefully we don't have to break news on a Russell Westbrook trade, but
oof.
You know what? We will be there for you. Also, Charles and I were talking about this pre-pod. I haven't heard anyone excited about a Russell.
No one wants it. No one wants it.
If you're out there and you are excited, please let us know. We want to hear your story at Locked On Clips.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.